To Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Changed at home. Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Horses and men, horses and men are on the field. They didn't yield. Many have fallen here. Never forget. Never forget what they have done. The time will come when it will change again. Never forget.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. Today is Wednesday. It is the 25th of October in the year 2005. I don't know what the weather is like where you are. We have been in the 20s, in the 30s for the last several days. We're having an early winter here in God's country, in Millerton, Pennsylvania. Let me start here tonight with our spiritual message. I have been cleaning up the studio. Actually, it really hasn't been looking like part of this home since Chuck passed away. And it's almost 4 years. That's hard for me to believe. February the 15th in 2003. The mail that comes in and all of the material that we were working with, usually what would happen is that during the spring and summer and fall, we were busy outside with gardening and harvesting and canning, and then we would tackle the studio in the winter time. And we didn't get it done that winter because Chuck passed away. That was 2003, and it has been so overwhelming that I didn't even know where to begin. And my sister's come to be with me at least for a while, and she brought her computer, and we had to get a place for her in the studio, and that got me started. And I would say that it's at least halfway done, and it feels so good. But while I was going through papers, that's what it is, it's all the papers, and I have to look at every one of them before I know whether I'm going to keep it, file it, or get rid of it. And I found this that I had done some years ago. It's very beautiful, and I want to share it with you folks. It's simply titled Apples. A few years ago, a group of salesmen went to a regional sales convention in Chicago. They had assured their wives that they would be home in plenty of time for Friday night's dinner. In their rush, with tickets and briefcases, one of these salesmen inadvertently kicked over a table which held a display of baskets and apples. Apples flew everywhere. Without stopping or looking back, they all managed to reach the plane in time for their nearly missed boarding. All but one. He paused, took a deep breath, got in touch with his feelings, and experienced a twinge of compassion for the girl whose apple stand had been overturned. He told his buddies to go on without him, waved goodbye, told one of them to call his wife when they arrived at their home destination and explain his taking a later flight. Then he returned to the terminal, where the apples were all over the terminal floor. He was glad he did. The 16-year-old girl was totally blind. She was softly crying, tears running down her cheeks in frustration, and at the same time helplessly groping for her spilled produce as the crowd swirled about her, no one stopping and no one to care for her plight. The salesman knelt on the floor with her, gathered up the apples, put them into the baskets, and helped set the display up once more. As he did this, he noticed that many of them had become battered and bruised. These he set aside in another basket. When he had finished, he pulled out his wallet and said to the girl, "Here, please take this $20 for the damage we did. Are you okay?" She nodded through her tears. He continued on with, "I hope we didn't spoil your day too badly." As the salesman started to walk away, the bewildered blind girl called out to him, "Mister?" He paused and turned to look back into those blind eyes. "Are you Jesus?" He stopped in mid-stride, and he wondered. And then slowly he made his way to catch the later flight, with that question burning and bouncing about in his soul. Are you Jesus? Do people mistake you for Jesus? That's our destiny, is it not? To be so much like Jesus that people cannot tell the difference as we live and interact with the world that is blind to His love, life, and grace. His love, life, and grace. If we claim to know Him, we should live, walk, and act as He would. Knowing Him is more than simply quoting scriptures and going to church. It's actually living the Word as life unfolds day to day. And then this says this at the bottom, "You are the apple of His eye, even though we too have been bruised by a fall." I thought that was very precious, and I set it aside to share it with you for this evening. We did that a long, long time ago. I'm going to share some information with you. We're going to talk about health tonight. We're going to talk about some foods and information that I want you to have so that you can share it. And I just realized I left something that I printed out in the studio. There we go. I got this thing printed out, got it in order, and then laid it down and didn't bring it in. The two items that I'm going to talk about tonight and share with you information articles that I have. Fructose, what am I trying to say? Oh, high fructose corn syrup. It looks so innocent because fructose is fruit sugar. And the corn syrup is corn syrup. And so when you see high fructose corn syrup, I've seen this for a long, long time on labels. And it's never bothered me because I thought it was just a natural sweetening. I don't buy foods, you know, like prepared meals and boxed stuff and canned stuff, but it doesn't matter what you buy, you find high fructose corn syrup in it. If you buy crackers of any kind, it just doesn't almost matter what you buy. And I wanted you to be aware of this information. This is titled, it's titled Sugar Coated. We're drowning in high fructose corn syrup. Do the risks go beyond our waistline? I'm just going to read the article to you, folks. I got this ready a long time ago to send over to Darren. He's been very busy, and he has items that have not been posted, and I'm not going to keep piling up articles for him to post when he hasn't been able to get the ones that he already has. So you won't find this on our website yet at sweetliberty.org, but eventually you will in the health med section. And if you haven't gone, been in the health med section, you might want to check it out. This is titled, as I said, Sugar Coated. We're drowning in high fructose corn syrup. Do the risks go beyond our waistline? An overweight America may be fixated on fat and obsessed with carbs, but nutritionists say the real problem is too much sweetener. We're awash in sugar. Not just any sugar, but high fructose corn syrup. The country eats more sweetener made from corn than from sugar cane or beets, gulping it down in drinks as well as in frozen food and baked goods. Even ketchup is laced with it. I made my own ketchup, by the way, folks. I couldn't believe it. Even ketchup has... not the A1 sauce. What is it? Heinz 57? It doesn't... Like I said, it doesn't... Almost doesn't matter. And I went on the Internet, and I found several recipes for ketchup. And I made some really good ketchup this year. Actually, I didn't have a garden, but my friend Donnie picked me up some tomatoes from the Amish that I felt comfortable with. And the only problem with the ketchup was that it called for using 5 cinnamon sticks, and there was too much cinnamon in it. So I made the second batch and didn't put any in and lightened it up. But without the cinnamon taste there, the ketchup is as every good as Hunt's or Heinz or anyone you'd want. We can eat without having to eat all of that stuff. And I do know that. It says here that almost all nutritionists finger high fructose corn syrup consumption as a major culprit in the nation's obesity crisis. Think about this, folks. The inexpensive sweetener flooded the American food supply in the early 80s, just about the time the nation's obesity rate started its unprecedented climb. The question is, why did it make us so fat? Is it simply the big gulp syndrome, that we're eating too many empty calories in ever-increasing portion sizes? Or does the fructose and all that corn syrup do something more insidious? Literally, shortwire our metabolism and force us to gain weight. The debate can divide a group of nutritional researchers almost as fast as whether the low-carb craze is fact or fad. Loading high fructose corn syrup into increasingly larger portions of soda and processed food has packed more calories into us and more money into food processing companies, says nutritionists and food activists. But some health experts argue that the issue is bigger than more calories. The theory goes like this. The body processes the fructose and high fructose corn syrup differently than it does old-fashioned cane or beet sugar, which in turn alters the way metabolic regulating hormones function. Goes back to those hormones again, huh, folks? It also forces the liver to kick more fat out into the bloodstream. The end result is that our bodies are essentially tricked into wanting to eat more, and at the same time, we're storing more fat. One of the issues is the ease with which you consume this stuff, says Carol Porter, Director of Nutrition and Food Services at the University of California, San Francisco. It's not that fructose itself is so bad, but they put it in so much food that you consume so much of it without knowing it. Listen to this, folks. A single 12-ounce can of soda has as much... I'm sorry about that. I have a call coming in here, and I'm not going to take it, but I have call waiting on my phone, folks. And so what it does when it comes in is it kind of bleeps my voice out for a minute. I'm sorry about that. Okay, wait, let me get back to it. A single 12-ounce can of soda has as much as 13 teaspoons of sugar in the form of high fructose corn syrup. A single 12-ounce can of soda has as much as 13 teaspoons of sugar in the form of high fructose corn syrup. And because the amount of soda we drink has more than doubled since 1970 to about 56 gallons per person a year, so has the amount of high fructose corn syrup we take in. In 2001, we consumed almost 63 pounds of it, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. I guess they're talking per person. 65 pounds. The USDA suggests most of us limit our intake of added sugar. That's everything from the high fructose corn syrup hidden in your breakfast cereal to the sugar cubes you drop into your after-dinner espresso to about 10 to 12 teaspoons a day. But we're not doing so well. In 2000, we ate an average of 31 teaspoons of sugar a day, which is more than 15% of our caloric intake, and much of that was in sweetened drinks. So, the answer is to just avoid soda, right? Unfortunately, it isn't that simple, because the inexpensive, versatile sweetener has crept into plenty of other places, foods you might not expect to have any at all. When the children were coming this summer, they eat whole grain bread when they're here, but if we have hamburgers, it's real difficult to get them to eat whole grain hamburger buns. They have a different texture, etc. So I splurge, or I make an allowance, if you would. So I was at the grocery store, folks, to buy hamburger buns when they were coming. I couldn't find one hamburger bun, one label. I must have stood in that bread line. I get my bread at the health food store, so I don't buy it at the grocery store. But this was at the grocery store, and I must have stood there for 30 minutes reading labels. I could not find one hamburger bun that did not have high fructose corn syrup. So then I started going around and picking up other things. I picked up crackers. You know, different kinds of crackers, snack crackers. And you look for foods that don't have high fructose corn syrup, and it's going to frighten you because it's in just about everything we're eating today, and it affects the liver. As I read to you, the body metabolizes it differently. So it is a health risk. Because high fructose, listen to this. A low-fat, fruit-flavored yogurt, for example, can have 10 teaspoons of fructose-based sweetener in one serving. Because high fructose corn syrup mixes easily, extends shelf life, and is as much as 20% cheaper than other sources of sugar. Large-scale food manufacturers love it. It can help prevent freezer burn, so you'll find it on the labels of many frozen foods. It helps breads brown, and to keep them soft, which is why hot dog, hot dog buns and even English muffins hold unexpected amounts of high fructose corn syrup. The question remains just how much more dangerous high fructose corn syrup is than other sugars. Fructose, as the name implies, is the sugar found naturally in fruit. It can be extracted, turned into granules, and used like sugar in the kitchen. It used to be considered a healthier alternative to sucrose, plain old table sugar. It's sweeter, so less is needed to achieve the same taste. Diabetics use it because fructose doesn't stimulate insulin production, so blood sugar levels remain stable. The process of pulling sugar from cornstarch wasn't perfected until the early 1970s, when Japanese researchers developed a reliable way to turn cornstarch into syrup sweet enough to compete with liquid sugar. After some tinkering, they landed on a formula that was 55% fructose, 45% glucose, sweet enough and cheap enough to make most soda companies jump from liquid sugar to high fructose corn syrup by the 1980s. The results were dramatic, a whopping increase of 4,080%. Journalist Greg Krister lays out a compelling case against high fructose corn syrup in his 2003 book, Fat Land, How Americans Became the Fattest People in the World. He argues that federal policies that aimed to stabilize food prices and support corn production in the 70s led to a glut of corn and then the high fructose corn syrup. With a cheaper way to sweeten food, producers pumped up the size and amount of sweet snacks and drinks on the market and increased profits. But it isn't natural. Kritzer writes that despite the food industry's argument that sugar is sugar, whether fructose or sucrose, no group has yet, and this is a quote, has yet refuted the growing scientific concern that when all is said and done, fructose is about the furthest thing from natural that one can imagine, let alone eat. Although some researchers have long been suspicious that too much fructose can cause problems, the latest case against high fructose corn syrup began in earnest a few years ago. Dr. George Bray, principal investigator of the Diabetes Prevention Program at Louisiana State University Medical Center, told the International Congress on Obesity that in 1980, just after high fructose corn syrup was introduced in mass quantities, relatively stable obesity rates began to climb. By 2000, they had doubled. Further, the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition in 2002 published research that showed that teenagers' milk consumption between 1965 and 96 decreased by 36%, while soda consumption increased by more than 200%. Bray argues that without calcium, which nutritionists agree can help the body regulate weight, then the children got fatter. He says that he could find no other single combination of environmental or food changes that were significant to the rise in obesity. Other studies and researchers at UC Davis and the University of Michigan have shown that consuming fructose, which is more readily converted to fat by the liver, increases the level of fat in the bloodstream in the form of triglycerides. And unlike other types of carbohydrate made up of glucose, fructose does not stimulate the pancreas to produce insulin. Peter Havel, a nutrition researcher at UC Davis who studied the metabolic effects of fructose, has also shown that fructose fails to increase the production of leptin, Hold on, folks. I'm going to cough. Sorry about that. I'm talking to you on my headset phone, and I don't have a mute on it. So we might experience this a couple times tonight. They said that... wait a minute. I'm going to start the sentence over. Peter Havel, a nutrition researcher at UC Davis, who studies the metabolic effects of fructose, has also shown that fructose fails to increase the production of leptin, a hormone produced by the body's fat cells. Both insulin and leptin act as signals to the brain to turn down the appetite and control body weight. And in another metabolic twist, Havel's research shows that fructose doesn't appear to suppress the production of ghrelin. This is G-H-R-E-L-I-N. It is a hormone that increases hunger and appetite. So I want to do that again to make sure you get it, that the high fructose corn syrup fails to increase the production of leptin, which is a hormone produced by the body's fat cells. And it says that both insulin and leptin act as signals to the brain to turn down the appetite, which, of course, controls the body weight. And also, it does the opposite, that Havel's research shows that fructose does not appear to suppress the production of ghrelin, a hormone that increases hunger and appetite. So it doesn't suppress the production of the hormone that increases the appetite, but it does suppress the hormone that turns off the appetite. Folks, do you hear this? What it's saying? However, it goes on here. Oh, this is Havel. This is a quote. He says, because fructose in isolation doesn't activate the hormones that regulate body weight as do other types of carbohydrates composed of glucose, consuming a diet high in fructose could lead to taking in more calories and over time to weight gain. However, Havel isn't convinced high fructose corn syrup is by itself the problem. That's in part because it's composed of 55% fructose and 45% glucose, which is similar to the 50-50 combination of fructose and glucose found in table sugar. Havel studies have focused on fructose by itself and not as part of a high fructose corn syrup mixture. Whether there's an important difference in the effects of consuming beverages sweetened with a mixture of 55% as opposed to 50, it's hard to measure, he says. Additional studies are needed to be understood. Still, the researchers are finding new problems with high fructose corn syrup. A study in last month's Journal of the National Cancer Institute suggests that women whose diet was high in total carbohydrate and fructose intake had an increased risk of colorectal cancer. And Dr. Mel Heyman, chief of pediatric gastroenterology and nutrition at UCSF, is seeing sick children whose bodies have been overloaded with fructose from naturally occurring fructose in fruit juice combined with soda and processed food. And I can tell you, folks, when you take a look, we're going to take a break here. When you take a look at the juices that are on the market for children today, it might be natural juice, and it's always loaded with high fructose, not always, but the majority of time it's loaded with high fructose corn syrup. And we're going to be back after this, and we'll pick this up. I'm going to talk about canola oil tonight too, because I want you to understand it so you can explain it and share it with others. We'll be right back.
Sometimes our .com server goes down, so don't forget We have a backup. FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you?
All right, we're back here with you folks. You're going to, please, if you will, excuse the squeakiness and hoarseness of my voice. I haven't really got it all packed since I had that darn cold that went down into the chest, of course. But anyway, we'll do as the best we can here. So high fructose corn syrup, what you might want to do there, I found a website, and I don't have it written down here, so I can't give it to you, but I was doing a search on the high fructose corn syrup. And I found a website, and the lady who set up the website was making lists of food. Excuse me, all the brand name foods that have high fructose corn syrup in it. And the list was just endless. And people were writing in, and she was posting it when they found certain products that didn't have it. And people wrote in and said, you know, it probably would be very much easier if you could is to have people report on it and just give us a list of foods, of products that we can buy that don't have it rather than listing all that do, because almost all of them do. And it is sad, and it's upsetting because most people don't read labels anyway, but even when you do, when you see high fructose corn syrup, well, that's natural. That's exactly what I thought. And then we find out that the body doesn't metabolize it the same. And it suppresses certain hormones that shut off the appetite. And it doesn't suppress the hormone that makes you hungry. And you take a look around you today at children. And of course, then we have the problem of estrogen dominance, because that, of course, also is it causes weight gain, estrogen dominance, because of the xenoestrogen. Xenoestrogen is an artificial type of an estrogen, but your body treats it as though it's estrogen. And that's why we have little boys today, and men, that you see a lot of little boys when they gain weight. They get the little dimples. They gain weight like a woman does. Their breasts begin to enlarge. In fact, when we talked about this on the air a couple of years ago, I don't know if we have those. I don't remember the dates, but I'll bet I could find the tapes and give you the dates, and maybe we could bring them up and post them, because I had Kurt Newby on with us for four nights, and we discussed this situation with the estrogen, the xenoestrogens. There are over 60,000 ways that we take in xenoestrogens, and that's helping very much. It's helping to promote the obesity that we experience, that we see today. And I remember Kurt telling us, he was from Nevada, that the news actually was announcing that there was a clinic that was doing breast reduction surgery on young boys, overweight boys, because their breasts were filling out like women's. And so on top of the high fructose corn syrup, we have that to contend with. And it isn't a pretty picture. But you know what? Without having the information, there's nothing you're going to be able to do about it, because why would you? If you don't know something. I received a letter from one of our listeners. Actually, he had listened to the broadcast in the archives, and he related to me the experience that he and his wife had trying to get pregnant. And they tried everything. And they wanted to give her progesterone, artificial progesterone. She didn't want to go an artificial way. But what they basically found out is that she was estrogen dominant, and it took years and years and years. And so she began to balance it. As soon as her hormones were balanced, she became pregnant. And as Kurt Newby said, the estrogen dominance acts like the morning after pill. A woman can conceive, and if she's estrogen dominant, then she'll wind up miscarrying. Not even miscarrying, it won't even take. It is like taking the birth control pill, the morning after pill. And the reason that it's so widespread is because the pesticides that are used on the foods are xenoestrogens on the vegetables and stuff like that. And so the vegetables absorb them, so almost everything we eat today. And folks, I don't know about you, but I can't think of a better reason to get into home gardening, can you? I know the gardening season is over, but it's certainly something to consider. And if you don't have the space to do it, perhaps you could find a friend who does, and you can, and it's lots of fun. It's for me, as much as I love my gardening, I miss the companionship of gardening with Chuck, when we used to get out there and sit down and pull weeds and talk and chat and admire and enjoy the wonderful, wonderful meals we had. In the summertime, we had a lot of meals, purely, simply steamed vegetables from the garden. And it is a wonderful thing. And remember that quote that I stated that one night on the air as a spiritual message, that nature is the physical level of reality. If what he meant by that, what I see in my mind, what he meant by that, and I know that Alan has talked about, you know, the New Agers and how they say, well, it doesn't matter because this is all an illusion. I've talked to New Agers who have agreed with him that that's exactly what's happening. They're just in a blissful world. But when you say nature is the physical level of reality, what God creates is eternal. And we know that the physical world itself is not eternal. And so in a sense, it could be said to be an illusion. Although that doesn't mean that it isn't real. It's very real to us. Here we are. We're here for a reason. We're here for a purpose. And in the third dimension, everything is happening. Everything is happening in every dimension. Everything we do here in the third dimension affects every other dimension anyway. And that's why it is so important what we do here today, how we be. And just like the man who stopped and missed his plane to go back and help the little girl. He didn't even know she was blind. Who went back to help the little girl and picked up her apples. That's walking the walk. Isn't it, folks? And it is important what we do here today. Whether we want to refer to the physical level as an illusion or not, but that is something that I wrestled with. And I remember standing out there one spring day a few years back, beautiful spring day, warm. I had the beans planted. We had the beans planted. They were sprouting. And I was out there with the hose, with the fine spray, keeping those little bean sprouts damp so they could continue their germination. And I just looked around. The hills were, all of the meadows were greening up, and the sky was a beautiful blue without chemtrails. There was a hawk soaring overhead, and I was in awe and I was in love with the beauty, and I said a prayer of thank you for the beauty. And then I turned around and looked, and in the hose, in the spray from the hose, there was a beautiful rainbow. And the thought that occurred to me was that it's a good thing that this is such a nasty place to be, or we'd never want to go home. This is not our home. And yet while we're here, the beauty is here, and it is in nature. What is real? All right, I'm going to get on here because I don't want us to run out of time. I want to talk about canola oil. Sis and I were in a health food store today. It was a new little health food store. It isn't new. It was new to us. Just a beautiful place, and even the energy in it, it felt like a good place to be. And I see these blue corn, organic blue corn chips on the shelf, and I looked and it had canola oil. They were cooked with canola oil. And I asked the lady, I went up to the counter and asked her if she was the owner. And I didn't know that. I assumed for some reason, because it was such a beautiful place and everything she had in it was good stuff. You could see, I mean, I assumed that the woman didn't know. And I told her that I noticed that the corn chips that she was selling were cooked with canola oil. And she said, yes. And I said, well, maybe you're not aware of it, but canola oil is not good for us. It's a genetically modified food, and it isn't good for us. And I thought you would want to know that. She said, I do know it, but that's what everybody wants. Folks, that isn't okay, is it? I mean, I shouldn't say it that way. I'm being real judgmental here, but I was surprised that, and what I said to the lady, I said, so what if it's what they want? You maybe if they come in and they want canola oil, have some information here. Give it to your customers and show them that this is not healthy for them. And if they want it anyway, tell them that they'll just have to go someplace else. And I, she said that she was going to consider it, but that was what got me going on this canola oil today and what made me decide tonight that I wanted to share this information with you. This is a letter to the editor. It was in the Wall Street Journal. I got the date here someplace, but I'm not going looking for it. It's titled Rape in a Different Guise. It says, Dear editors, recently I bought a cooking oil that's new to our supermarkets. Oh, wait, I better get the date for you so you can see when this was done. This was back in 1995. Canola oil's been out since longer than that, but they've really been hitting it, haven't they, folks? Everything's canola oil today. It says, recently, I bought a cooking oil that's new to our supermarkets, canola oil. I tried it because the label assured me it was lowest in, quote, bad fats. However, when I had used half the bottle, I concluded that the label told me surprisingly little else, and I started to wonder, where does canola oil come from? Olive oil comes from olives, peanut oil from peanuts, sunflower oil. What's a canola? There was nothing on the label to enlighten me, which I thought odd. So I did some investigating on the internet. There are plenty of official canola oil sites lauding this new, quote, wonder oil with all its low-fat health benefits. That's in quotes. It takes a little longer to find sites that tell the less palatable details. Here are just a few facts everyone should know before buying anything containing canola. Canola is not the name of a natural plant, but a made-up word from the words Canada and oil. Canola is a genetically engineered plant developed in Canada from the rapeseed plant, which is part of the mustard family of plants, according to Agra Alternatives, the online innovation and technology magazine for farmers. Quote, by nature, these rapeseed oils, which have long been used to produce oils for industrial purposes, are toxic to humans and other animals. Rapeseed oil is poisonous to living things and is an excellent insect repellent. I've been using it in very diluted form, as per instructions, to kill the aphids on my roses for the last 2 years. It works very well. It suffocates them. Ask for it at your nursery. Rape is an oil that is used as a lubricant, fuel, soap, and synthetic rubber base, and as an illuminate for color pages in magazines. Rape is an industrial oil. It's not a food. Rape oil, it seems, causes emphysema, respiratory distress, anemia, constipation, irritability, and blindness in animals and humans. Rape oil was widely used in animal feeds in England and Europe between 1986 and 1991 when it was thrown out. Remember the mad cow disease scare? When millions of cattle in the UK were slaughtered in case of infecting humans, cattle were being fed on a mixture containing materials from dead sheep, and sheep suffer from a disease called scrapie. It was thought this was how mad cow began and started to infiltrate the human chain. What is interesting is that when rape oil was removed from animal feed, scrapie disappeared. We also haven't seen any further reports of mad cow since rape oil was removed from the feed. Perhaps not scientifically proven, but interesting all the same. U.S. and Canadian farmers grow genetically engineered rapeseed, and manufacturers use its oil, canola, in thousands of processed foods with the blessings of Canadian and U.S. government watchdog agencies. That canola-supporting websites say that canola is safe to use. Folks, I just want to stop here for a minute. I don't know if any of you saw the movie Lorenzo's Oil. In this article, it mentions that rapeseed oil has a very long fatty acid chain. And the movie was a beautiful movie, allegedly true, of some type of a problem, a disease that some little children have, that their fatty acid chain is missing certain links. And it turned out that the oil, the rape oil, helped these little children. Now, I've never researched it, so that whole movie saying that it was true could have been a hoax, but maybe it wasn't. But that's not the point. It was after that movie, Lorenzo's Oil, came out, that canola oil became so popular. And I've been into natural foods, well, most of my life, truly, even since a young married woman. I've always been cooking from scratch and not using cans and boxes and stuff. But I got into natural foods a long, long, long time ago. My children were raised with good natural foods. So they trust their mom, my girls. And when canola oil came out, it was supposed to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. And I called the girls and I said, you know, get rid of your Wesson oil, et cetera, and get canola oil. Well, I found out many years ago, at least 10, I guess, maybe more, it's been more than that, that the canola oil was not good. It has been more than 10 years. But they were confused when I called them and said, gosh, you're the one that told us to buy this stuff, Mom. Anyway, folks, this is when canola oil became the best thing since sliced bread. And I do recall this because I did watch the movie when it was on, and I remember not too long after out comes canola oil, and I'm buying it because I thought this was wonderful stuff because it saved a little boy's life. And today, they are advertising organic canola oil. There's no such thing as a canola. It's a rapeseed. It's a genetically modified rapeseed. There's no such thing as a canola. But you want to be careful when you see today, when you see organic on products, because the FDA has made great allowances and they've changed the regulations. And if you see a product that says organic, it could be that only one ingredient in that product is actually organic. But that's what the change that has been made. So we have to be doubly careful. And I don't know about you, but I think it's worth it. Worth looking into it, don't you? And we have our intuition. And sometimes you see things, especially when you see it in the poison food chain, the regular grocery stores, except where they have their little health food sections, you'll find some of the same items that you can find in your health food stores. Be careful. So let's get back to the canola here. Well, I won't finish this, but I think you're getting it. So, as this article mentioned, we're not hearing about mad cow anymore. They quit feeding the rapeseed to the sheep. The sheep quit having scrapie. I think it's scrapie. That's the way you pronounce it. It says here that U.S. and Canadian farmers grow genetically engineered rapeseed and manufacturers use its oil, canola, in thousands of processed foods. the canola supporting websites say that canola is safe to use. They admit it was developed from the rapeseed, but insist that through the genetic engineering, it is no longer rapeseed, but canola instead. Except canola means Canadian oil, and the plant is still a rape plant, albeit genetically modified. The new name provides perfect cover for commercial interests wanting to make millions. Look at the ingredient list on labels. Apparently peanut oil is being replaced with rape oil. You'll find it in an alarming number of processed foods. There's more, but to conclude, rape oil was the source of the chemical welfare agent mustard gas, which was banned after blistering the lungs and skins of hundreds of thousands of soldiers and civilians during World War I. Recent French reports indicate that it was again used in the Gulf War. Check products for ingredients. If the label says may contain the following and lists canola oil, you know it contains canola oil because it's the cheapest, and the Canadian government subsidizes it to industries involved in food processing. I don't know what you'll be cooking with tonight. This was, remember, I'm reading to you a letter to the editor from the Wall Street Journal. This was from 1995. He says, I don't know what you'll be cooking with tonight, but I'll be using olive oil and old-fashioned butter from a genetically unmodified cow. And folks, from what I can see, from what I know, basically, one of the safest oils that we can use and good for us would be olive oil. And now I have read, I don't know that this is true, but in the grocery store you'll see olive oil, and then you'll see extra virgin olive oil that's a little bit more expensive. But what I have read is that the extra virgin olive oil is the best for us to use. And I know that there are other oils, they're lighter. I mean, other wonderful natural oils, sesame oil and et cetera, but it depends on how they react to heat. And that is why that the olive oil is not only good for us, but it doesn't react to heat the way a lot of oils do. So you want to think about this. There's more information here, but this turned out pretty good tonight. I don't usually do this. I sometimes have something I want to share with you, and I get to talking so much that I never get it done. And tonight, I believe that this is complete. We'll be back with you next Wednesday night. Maybe we'll have a guest next Wednesday night, folks. I don't know. We will see. And I want to thank you for being here this evening. Remember to tune in Monday and Tuesday for Darren Week. And you have a lovely week. And we'll see you next Wednesday. Good night, folks. God bless you.
Now you can enjoy the most delicious, freshest, and healthiest drinking water anytime, even while traveling, during outdoor sporting activities, and in hospital filtration environments such as local or national emergencies. The revolutionary Berkey Light removes pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful or unwanted chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul tastes and odors like that rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals your body needs. The Berkey Light is so powerful it can purify raw